You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
This is the home of the grit grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Final hour Overdrive, TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app and now on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Darren Dreger, a hockey insider in studio at 620. We'll get back into the conversation about the core here in Toronto with the Maple Leafs. Is the core already in place in terms of future championships, or at least, you know, being a championship caliber core? Or does more have to be added down the road?
Gets me jacked up, man, to talk about that stuff as opposed to what we've been talking about the last since we started working together.
Right.
Like excitement, the future, it's bright. I mean, obviously getting Austin Matthews is a massive, massive ordeal, but
fast tracks it a little bit.
Big time. Think?
Big
well,
time.
In past years, the conversation was, do you have enough to be a playoff team? Right. That's it. Can Phil, Lupul, JVR, Bozak, Dion, Gardner, Johnny Burns or Reimer or whatever, can that be enough to get to a playoff series?
And in reality, it was not.
It never was. Well, it was once, but it really wasn't.
Shortened season.
This, you talk about taking a leapfrog. It's leapfrogged in terms of the conversation you're having and the context of that conversation.
Right.
Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Freddie Anderson factors in.
Yeah, I know. And we talked about the years of a rebuild, Brian, but going into next season, this might be jumping the gun, but if they don't make the playoffs next year, I would consider that a disappointment.
I'm on board with that 100%.
You not agree with that?
I agree, but I personally, you need to make moves this summer to solidify that, to turn that corner. Like, this group, as it is, and let's not forget, they're in a playoff push now. Like, there's a chance that they could do it this year if all the stars align and things continue to progress. If they don't do it this year, you can see how far you've come and how close you are, but you still need to add bodies to supplant or
to supplement everything.
Supplement,
but what
things around?
What is experience worth year two in terms of points? Like, what is the second time around for Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Carrick, Zaitsev? What does that work? Anderson, second year as a true bona fide starter,
but
is that worth 10 points?
I was just going to say
12.
If it's worth 10 points in the standings, like, that's a big jump. Because if you have a successful season, let's just say they high 80s, get to 90 or whatever, now you're talking about a 100-point team. That's a massive jump.
Well, I think that might actually be a more applicable conversation. I'm with you. Based on what I've seen so far through 39 games, I can't imagine myself in a position next year where I wouldn't think they should expect to be a playoff team. And if they don't get there, I think they should be disappointed.
I think I think you can add me in there as well.
Okay.
But I'm just trying to say add.
You still have
place.
To add pieces. And I
Correct.
Think we all expect them to add pieces. That's fine. But I think from an individual standpoint, that will be a bigger conversation. Let's say Matthew scores 40 and ends up with 75. Are we coming in next year saying he's got to score 50 and 85?
No.
Like, I don't think so, right? So that's something you got to take into consideration when we're trying to place a value, a points value on experience. If you're expecting the same year or hope to get the exact same year out of Matthews and Marner and Nylander, then where are those points coming from?
Right.
Like, is Connor Brown going to jump into a 30-goal scorer?
I don't see that.
Is Hyman going to play a more prominent offensive role?
No, if anything, Hyman goes – when you're on a winning team, I think Hyman goes down in your lineup. He goes into a third-line role.
Probably
and
both
does
of
a
them
really
do.
Good.
I've been impressed with Connor Brown, though.
Like
Connor
like him,
Brown
too.
And his offensive numbers are catching up to people. Like, obviously we're focused on the big three forwards,
right?
As we should be, because they're putting up numbers we haven't seen in the city in a long time. But Connor Brown on his own, past 10-15 games, he's starting to rack up some points, man.
Yep.
And it was actually Jerry D that was tweeting about it earlier and brought up a good point. This is a rookie who's playing power play and penalty kill minutes.
Yep.
Like, that's a lot of trust from Babcock.
Yeah,
Brown, a lot of nights you look at the most minutes played by a forward, it's Connor Brown.
Well, he's earning it and playing very well. But he's also playing, like, this speaks to who you play with as well. Patrick Maroon, he's having a career year. Well, he's getting some minutes with McDavid. You look at Connor Brown, who he's playing with. Like, that's the effect of guys that you're playing with.
Yep.
You forced him farther down in the lineup, he still would give you great hockey because he's a good hockey player. But would he get those good looks? Would he get those one-timers? Would he get...
Or the second assist on Matthews doing work.
Exactly.
Probably not. But this is what they have accomplished in such short order, is if you move him down the lineup, so to speak, he's still playing with Nazem Kadri, who's on pace for, 30 goals this year.
Yeah.
Like, you can get some points off that.
The depth is there.
Bozak and JVR, if you flip him with Marner, those two are still going to supply you some points. So we'll pick back up on that in about 15 minutes with Dreger. Interesting story out of Vancouver. I was reading this in The Province last night. I say that as if I read all these papers. I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah.
I was reading The Province last night.
No, you weren't.
No, I wasn't.
Fake news.
Fake news.
Fake news.
I was reading the New York Times, the failing New York Times. And there's a story about Daniel Sedin and a couple of other Canucks who were unknowingly taking helicopter rides with a convicted drug smuggler. Some guy who I guess was affiliated with this helicopter company. And that must do huge business because of the mountains and fly up the Whistler. Like, that's a ball in lifestyle, I would say.
I think the key word is unknowingly. Like,
well,
if
of course.
It was, like, willingly, like, excited about it.
Right.
You know, that's...
Well, and there's a picture of Daniel taking a picture with this guy. And,
yeah.
I mean, how would you know? How could you possibly know?
You couldn't.
Like, if you're a celebrity, if you're someone with money, like Daniel Sedin, you can't... There's not a screening process for everyone you come across. You can't expect to know the background of every single person you come across.
It happened to me. I took a chartered flight back from Ottawa. I've told you about that. Like, I thought it was going to be this sleek private jet, and it was the Cleveland Indians plane.
Prop plane.
In Major League?
Yeah, and literally a month later, guy got busted for smuggling drugs into Canada. And I was like, are they going to call me or, like... Can you imagine if you're on that bird?
Your DNA's on it.
That's right.
If you're on the bird and the cops come on the tarmac, you probably got some problems.
I don't know how that would work. Yeah, are you guilty by association?
Yeah.
Because by all accounts, the guy could have had something stuffed away. How
would
you know?
What do you say? I'd be like, I don't even know who this guy is. They'd be like, yeah, right.
Exactly.
And it's recommended through a friend, and then you just trust it. And then a month later, it's like, this guy's all over the papers. I'm like, hang on a sec. That's the guy that flew me home from Ottawa.
No way.
Yeah. There's a lot of corruption out there.
But how can you
know? I've had it before, Brian.
There's nothing
like,
you can do.
You get associated with people. We had a guy in Carolina that was Mr. Everything. He would fix guys' fridges.
Yep.
He would fix guys' cars. And then all of a sudden, the NHL security came in our locker room one day, and they said, that guy, never again has anybody ever talked to him again. And that was it. Like that was just it.
Happened to us in Florida. We had a car guy. And the guy ended up, myself and a few other players helped put him in jail because he was a fraud. And he was from Toronto. They deported him after 4 months in jail.
Really?
Like the guy, yeah. He was taking money from the players. He was the car guy. And I can get you a car and get you a car. But then he had it was like almost like a pyramid scheme. But you don't know.
Like a
you
Ponzi
trust
scheme.
The guy. Yeah, because he's affiliated with the team. You trust him because... You get to the team and they're like, the guy, we got a car guy? Yeah, go talk to, Bob Schmatz there. And you roll in, talk to him, and take care of you, all good. But then you find out the guy's shady. I hate that guy.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, what can you really do? Like,
There's
this is on such a different level because you're talking about millionaires and celebrities, but this can apply to any walk of life. Hire a plumber and the guy can overcharge you and squeeze you. You know, every time you go to a mechanic, how the hell do you know what they're doing? I mean, you just got to trust the dealership. That's the thing. That's why everyone's got a guy, right? Everyone's got someone where I'm telling you they're going to take it. They'll take care of you.
Yeah. And then you find out they're not on the level. Like, that's why you have to be really careful in today's world. That's why these celebrities, like, I think Sidney Crosby he's a pretty private person. But
you never
have
hear
handlers,
anything about that.
You
guy.
Have handlers. That make sure that things are on the level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's your job. Like, it's your brand that you have to be careful of.
No kidding.
I'm friends with people that are worried about social media. You can't do that. Like, oh, no, I don't want to be seen here, or no picture, you got to be careful.
Don't want to get hacked or whatever.
That type of stuff. It's just the truth. That's the world we live in now. Well, the hacking thing, I mean, that's
well, and that's what, I mean, that's what Trump was saying today. And the fake news stuff, who the hell knows about these reports and what's going on? But he did say, listen, I'm a high-profile guy. Whenever I go anywhere, I've got bodyguards, I've got security with me, I know cameras are on me.
Yeah.
Now, again, it's you decide whether or not you believe him or not. But I kind of get that from that standpoint. If you are a high-profile celebrity, you have to be careful at all times.
And there's people gunning for you. That's their, like, that's the one thing. Like, what was the NBA owner who was a terrible person?
Sterling, Donald Sterling.
And, but he got
yeah, he got hosed, basically.
Yeah, he got hosed by
his audio was being recorded. He's dropping racial bombs.
And he's a terrible person, by all accounts, but he still got hosed by somebody that he thought he trusted.
Right. In his own house.
Right.
The privacy of his own house.
It's crazy how careful you have to be in certain situations, because now there are these hackers.
Well, in the league, I think it was the league or someone with the Canucks eventually got to the Canucks and got to Trevor Linden, and Linden released a statement saying we're completely surprised. The police actually was the one, I guess, that contacted the team. Wow. Said, hey, we're seeing this picture circulate. You should know this guy's done time in the States, and he's notorious for smuggling drugs, I guess, across the border. But Sven Barchi flew with this guy, Bo Horvat. So Linden had to release a statement saying, basically defending the integrity and the character of the players by saying they're completely oblivious to this guy's background, and it was just kind of a fluky situation.
And it probably started a lot earlier than that. Somebody asked a veteran guy, any word on a helicopter guy? Yeah, it's this guy.
Yeah,
you have no idea what the guy's past is.
No, what are you supposed to do?
That's why it's you have to trust people within the circle of the team, because if you're new to a city or if you're new to a situation, a lot of times you ask a veteran guy or ask somebody in the organization, hey, do you have a realtor? Do you have a car guy? You just trust that they know somebody who's reputable.
So do you go to the players for that, or would you go to ownership for that?
No,
or the GM?
A lot of times it's the players. There's usually somebody who's really dialed in. Like I don't know if it's a backup goalie or a seventh defenseman, like has got the pulse of the whole city. Like, oh, I've got a guy, like don't. Or somebody who's been there for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, they have the connections because they're generally probably out a lot, and they meet people, and everybody wants to be associated with it. So that's when you kind of run into some problems.
Well, it's a good lesson for the kids here in Toronto, because you can just imagine how many people here
slime balls looking
cannot wait to get associated with 34 and 16 and 29. And
a lot of
Austin
people
Matthews comes into your shop, you're dying for pictures.
Yeah.
You're dying for the freebies. Hand him
out
whatever you can.
You're dying for everything. You're dying for him to sit in your VIP room. You're dying for him to be anywhere around your restaurant.
Right. It's a status maker if he's affiliated with you.
The PA, they try to do a good job of educating. We have those meetings where they say, there's always people sniffing around, asking about the health of players. I played in New York, and we had the guy in the tracksuit who was always hanging around. They said, don't tell that guy anything.
The guy in the tracksuit. How'd that get past your radar? Some guy shows up in a tracksuit every day around the rink.
Yeah.
You would think that guy
coat.
On Long Island.
On Long Island.
Yeah, I think I'll pass.
I won't say his name, but he was always sniffing around.
Mm-hmm.
How's Pierre Turgeon? How's Turge's shoulder? How's he feeling?
Did he have a nickname? Like something, the boots? Or
no, I can't. I won't say his name.
The Nose?
If I said his name, it
It would ring out?
It wouldn't be.
Okay. You want to hear this audio? Well, the audio is a little bit long, but Floyd Mayweather was on ESPN today.
Yeah, this was good.
He got fired up. You want to just play it?
Let's just
play the audio, okay?
I think we should.
Because he was asked about the Conor McGregor super fight and whether or not it's a possibility. Have they had any conversations in the past?
Yeah.
A lot of people have been buzzing about this in the fight world, boxing and MMA. And here's what Mayweather had to say about McGregor and the potential for a fight earlier this morning.
We tried to make the Conor McGregor fight. They knew what my number is. My number was a guaranteed $100 million. That was my number. We're the A side. And I don't really know how much money he has made before. I don't know how much money Conor McGregor has made. I'm pretty sure he hasn't even made $10 million in an MMA bout. But we are willing to give him $15 million. And then we could talk about splitting the percentage, the back end percentage on pay-per-view. But of course, we're the A side. You know, how can a guy talk about 20 or 30 million if he's never even made 8 or 9 million? Conor McGregor keeps telling everybody he wants to fight. Let's make it happen.
So, interesting words from Mayweather. It kind of reminds me of the Pacquiao dance that he was playing forever, where he needs the most money and Pacquiao doesn't deserve it.
Right.
He's not wrong, though, that he does deserve more money. You know, McGregor's growing in popularity. Mayweather's on a different level.
He's the draw.
He's the draw. He's the promoter. He's the guy who you want to see lose.
Well, I was just going to say, if he's the one taking the risk here.
Absolutely. It's not even, there's no risk for McGregor as far as I'm concerned.
He gets knocked out. If McGregor gets knocked out, be like, yeah, a boxer
beat you up in a boxing match.
Right, exactly.
Like if it was MMA rules, all the pressure's on McGregor.
Exactly.
Because if Mayweather puts you in an armbar and makes you tap out, that's a tough pill to swallow.
Exactly.
But, you know,
McGregor would have any chance in like a standard boxing?
Not a chance. He would get destroyed.
So why the hell would he do it?
15 Cash. Sheets.
But it's not 15.
So that's the question. Would you get your ass kicked for $15 million?
It's more than 15. If he gets a percentage of the pay-per-view, think of how much money on the pay-per-view. We're talking $25
million. Right.
The 15 is a guarantee, and the percentage of the pay-per-view, depending on what it is, you can add another $5 or $10 million onto that. We're talking $25
million. Exactly. That's why there's got to be something else here. There's got to be more demands from Mayweather. Like, that was the holdup with Pacquiao. He wanted certain drug testing at certain times, and it wanted to be at this point,
right,
at that. There's got to be something else. Because I know McGregor's got an ego here, and he deserves to have an ego, right? He's the man in the UFC, and his popularity continues to grow. But if that is what is being propositioned, you can walk away with $25 million. So Mayweather's right. He's never made that in a fight in the UFC.
No.
And it's as simple as, we're fighting in June, here's $25 million. I would think McGregor would have already signed it by now, right? Like, how do you turn down 25 mil where you've made 3 million in UFC or whatever it is?
Right.
I don't know, man. There's got to be something else, like Mayweather saying, you know, we're fighting at this time or this place and drug testing this, and I'm the only one that can do this or that.
There must be a lot of strings behind it.
Generally, there is with Mayweather.
Holding it up.
But
still.
Hey, man.
Would you get in there?
I'd watch that.
That's all he's going to offer him. He gets 100. $75, and he's offering 15.
No, he gets 100.
He gets 100 plus pay per view on top. Like Mayweather would walk away with $140 million or something
more than
like that.
Yeah, probably more than that.
Right, but he sells fights, man. That's the thing. He gets that money because he's worthy of that money. Because pay per view, they can't get enough of him.
It's a serious business.
That is ridiculous.
It is. But if I'm McGregor, if it is that simple, hey. Let's get together 15 schmil plus pay-per-view. It's easy for me to say, but I'd sign off on that.
The $15 million, you fight for points on the pay-per-view.
So you want the 10% or 15%.
If they're offering 3 points or 4 points, say, give me a couple more points, because that equates to millions.
Well, that's it. If they get 2 or 3 million buys on pay-per-view at $75 a pop, that's astronomical money.
Yeah.
I hope it happens. I think it would be a bit of a circus, but I'm all for that.
It would be the biggest circus ever.
Yeah. Two guys who, they're so easy to hate. They're so flamboyant. They're so loud. They're obnoxious.
And it'd be...
I don't know who the likable guy would be.
Almost McGregor.
It might be.
Yeah, Mayweather kind of acts like a jackass, but so does McGregor.
But they both do. They're both cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, that's true.
So, anyway... all right, Dreg's in studio. We'll get his thoughts on the core in Toronto. Is it here? Does it have to be supplemented? Does it need a big piece in order to truly look into the future and expect it to be a championship-caliber team? And OV versus Sid tonight. Start teeing that big rivalry up tonight as well. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Maple Leaf lineup. Player of the day. The theme this week is Hall of Famers who play for the Rangers and the Maple Leafs. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Eric Lindros, your boy, the Big E, in the Hall of Fame. So there's your Maple Leaf lineup player of the day. Overdrive continues on TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider in studio, and the Hockey Insider is brought to you by Finance It. What's happening, Dregs?
Do you have any Donald Trump fake news for us or real news?
No. I, why do we even pay attention to that nonsense?
Well, we
it's good
it's
material.
Hard not to.
Yeah, it's like.
Well, you know why it's hard not to is because, you know, we all have brains. I get it, and you're entitled to your opinion. But half the people that I follow on Twitter and sports media feel compelled to retweet and chirp and comment on everything that's related to Trump.
I almost got involved today. I was going to tweet something about Trump, and I stopped. I just said, "I'm not getting involved. I don't."
Everyone's got opinion about it, but the guy, like I said yesterday, 60 million people voted for him. So, like,
But 49% of the American population didn't bother to vote.
Exactly. That's their own fault.
That doesn't get brought up enough.
Shame on them. Well, we can't take this down the political road every day, but it's just topical with this guy. And
everyone's pissed
off about it, but, well, do something about it. Don't vote the guy in.
It's too late now.
Not doing anything now.
See, I don't think he actually wanted to win. I think he wanted to be part of the fight and enjoy the spotlight and make a mockery of the process, but he doesn't want to work.
No, he's in.
He doesn't want the job.
No, he's got it now, man. Wow. It's waiting for him, and it's not going to turn anytime soon.
No.
That's for sure. We were talking to Lamoriello yesterday and asked him if he feels like he's got the core here in Toronto that can be a championship-caliber team down the road. He kind of danced around the answer. He was being careful, which you would expect, because they've only played 39 games. And he said, until you really see them in high-intensity games towards the end of the year, playoff games, that's when you really know what you have.
Right.
But we had the conversation earlier. I think this is about it. I mean, if you're being realistic in terms of what you can find, like, you're not trading for Drew Doughty. You're not trading for Erik Karlsson. I think what they have here with Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Riley, Anderson, I'd throw Kadri in there because of the deal and he's playing well. That's it. Like Zaitsev, I think that's kind of it. Where do you stand on what they have right now and whether or not you can realistically expect significant changes over the next couple of years?
Yeah, well, I'm undecided as to whether or not this core is good enough to contend for a Stanley Cup. And, you know, only time is going to determine whether or not the core is what's needed or not. I mean, traditionally, you know, the hockey experts will say, and those with experience will say, well, the three key elements are a number one center, which they have. You know, a number one, or certainly an elite top-pairing defenseman. Not sure yet.
Yeah, Riley's still a bit of a debate, isn't he?
Not sure yet. And goaltender in Freddie Anderson. And frankly, I believe in the game of Freddie Anderson, but I'm not sure or entirely convinced yet. So, maybe a year from now we're further along in that process, and you got to believe that, you know, they are going to make some adjustments, you know, try and bring a piece in or pieces in, and that's going to come at the expense of the roster in some way, shape, or form. You know, you don't get something for nothing, mm-hmm. be it in the offseason or in season prior to the trade deadline. But based on what we're seeing now in the youth elements that they have, there's plenty of reason to believe that they will be a contending team in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And I think you look at last offseason, the Weber-Subban deal was such an anomaly. That doesn't happen. I mean, that was just such a weird trade with massive money.
Well, even Jones and Johansson.
Right, exactly. You know. You look more at the Adam Larsson price and Larsson being available. Obviously, there's focus on the back end for this team, and they're going to have to address that at some point. I kind of feel like that's the limitation. Like, in terms of what you can really expect to get back in terms of an impact defenseman is like a number two or a number three. You're not getting it.
For these teams, we talked about it before we came on. Like, these teams that are asking the first round or a process and all that, that's not happening anymore.
No, it's not.
The standard's been set last year.
But, you know, Kenny Holland and I talked about this the other day. And I subscribe to his theory. When you're talking about a number one defenseman, and I'm not saying that's what Toronto's in the market for. They're looking for help on their blue line. They like what they have in Riley and Zaitsev. Would they like to add a top four? Of course they would. Holland's been looking for that player for how many years now? Be it through free agency or through trade. And the only way to get it, so it seems, that player is to either grossly overpay, which most managers aren't willing to do now, or you get lucky in the draft lottery and you draft and develop perhaps something that develops into a superstar defenseman. Otherwise, you're stuck. Yeah. And that's where the Red Wings are. They're stuck. You know? And it's tough because your point is well made, O-Dog. You know, I threw out the asking price for Landeskog, a top defenseman, you know, first round draft pick and something. Well, nobody's playing. Nobody. But you don't blame Sakic for having that initial conversation or conversations.
Yeah, but he has to also understand he's not getting a deal done if that's the ask.
No, he's not. Not
he's allowed to ask for whatever he wants, right? It's like a free agent. You can ask a team for the world. Doesn't mean you're going to get it.
Right.
You have to be realistic, though. Like, if he's trying to create his own marketplace, if you get that out there, that
Jamie,
that's
it's like selling your house, man. What it's worth is what someone's going to pay for.
That's right.
It's true. But just like all over the sports world, there are agents that make mistakes that overvalue their client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are, I mean, we looked at those deals in the offseason and said, there are people in Edmonton saying, Adam Larson for Taylor Hall, there are people throughout the league going, that's the price? Like, maybe in 2 years before that, it wouldn't have been even close on that price. There would have been a lot more.
What about good brands? It shifts.
It shifts.
How the hell does that deal happen?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It shifts all the time. So I don't blame Sakic for asking, but he has to be realistic in saying, well, if I'm going to set the marketplace, I'm going to have to realize I'm going to get hung up on a lot saying we're moving on.
See, what we've learned in a short period of time, to your point earlier, Brian, is the best hockey deals are the ones that you don't see coming. Shea Weber for P.K. Subban. Yeah, there was lots of speculation around P.K. Subban. No one envisioned or speculated that Shea Weber was going to be the return. Or the Johansson and the Seth Jones trade, you know, between Columbus and Nashville. So that's, I think, what Lou Lamoriello has to be considering. They're looking outside the box, and I'm sure they do that. I mean, they've got a, you know, what is Kyle Dubas doing? You know, Pridham, all of these guys have worked for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, that's got to be part of what they do in supplying input. Mm-hmm. Is not looking at Kevin Shattenkirk, who's a pending unrestricted free agent, and wondering, geez, would he sign with the Toronto Maple Leafs at 7 years at $7.25 million per year?
Right.
Well, there's going to be lots of teams that are lined up for him, whether he's the right answer or not. So there has to be a hockey deal out there that they have to find, and when they do, perhaps it'll make some sense.
Well, and if we're using the, you know, the PK for Weber deal, first of all, they don't have a PK Subban on this team in terms of the back end. They don't have a Shea Weber in terms of the back end.
Right.
But if it got to a point where it was that shocking and that big of a deal, you're not talking about Gardner or JVR or Komarov. You're talking about Riley, Matthews, Marner. You're talking about the best player on the team.
Probably.
Right? Like, that's what PK was in Montreal, was their best player outside of Price. Weber was their captain, Norris caliber type player.
Yeah.
Right? So if you want like massive names and massive impact, you've got to be talking about the top of your list.
Yeah, but that's not, and look, unless they go away from the plan, which they keep reminding us that they have no intention of doing that, they're looking for an age sensitive player. They want somebody to work with Morgan Riley and Zaitsev. They're not looking for the 30-year-old,
right?
You know, coming in and being 32, 33 when this team is an Eastern Conference contender. And that's what makes it super tricky.
They had one technically, but they, in Phaneuf. And that's, but he was too old to, in that, in their eyes, and the contract was probably too rich for what they were doing. Because that's really what Riley needs, is a guy like that. That's what, Ottawa's very happy with Phaneuf playing with CeCe. CeCe's a 22-year-old up-and-coming defenseman that they like. That's they're looking for somebody like Dion, but not Dion.
Right.
I would maybe younger too. If you said
good luck.
Sentence,
I mean,
that's exactly what we're saying here, though.
But that's my point.
Exactly. So I mean, that's why I keep circling back to, even if you're not certain this can be a championship caliber core, which no one can know that right now. I think you just have to accept this is about it. Like, they've done their heavy lifting. I just can't picture another massive deal, 2-3-4 player deal that changes up the dynamics of the team. Like, the DNA of this team and this core is going to be Matthews, Marner, Riley, Zaitsev, Anderson. I think Kadri's going to stick around. They just committed to him. He's playing really well.
How do you think the decor in Winnipeg will shake out, Dregs? I mean, they've got Byfuglien locked up long-term, Tyler Myers, and Trouba. Like, does it make sense to have a right side that loaded? I mean, every team would want that, but ultimately, can it stay that way?
Yeah, without talking to Jacob Trouba, I'm guessing that he's gambling that, you know, his bridge contract is exactly that. It's going to be a short term.
Yeah.
And perhaps at the end of it, you know, the Winnipeg Jets will say, all right, well, you know, we know you don't want to stay here if that's what he believes or will believe at the time, and they move him out at that point. If I'm looking at that side, he's the guy that still appears to be, and not the odd man out based on, you know, Winnipeg's want to keep him long term or the way he's playing. He's played very well of late. Mm-hmm. I still get the same vibe, and I'm haven't been near him any time recently, but I still get the vibe from afar that he's doing what he has to do. He's playing hard. He's practicing hard. You know, I don't feel like he thinks there's a long-term fit there, but contractually they hold his rights, and that's not changing anytime soon.
So you see, that's that would be a perfect fit, his age and his skill set, but what's the cost? That's the challenge.
Oh, and don't forget to trade. You know, if you're talking about two Canadian teams dealing here, and Winnipeg is moving him to Toronto, you're paying through the teeth.
Yeah,
you know, it's different than trading him to Anaheim, you know, and getting something back that way, because you're not staring at it every Saturday night.
And it's I just don't think it's possible for that player. For Toronto, that's the thing. Unless you're willing to give up so much.
You know, Gino teases me about stirring the pot on this show and other shows. So I'm going to stir the pot here a little bit, because I had a governor earlier this week who, I don't know why he would know this, but you know, those guys travel in the ownership circles. You know, he's not a principal owner, but he's involved in ownership. Suggested to me that the owners of the Toronto Maple Leafs, primarily Rogers. Man, they got a taste of the good stuff with the Blue Jays this summer and how deep they went, and they liked it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's a little bit of pressure on the Toronto Maple Leafs to do what you got to do, not blow it up and, you know, mortgage your future to make sure you get in the playoffs, but
maybe a
playoff round or two would be kind of nice.
Hmm.
I got a hard time believing that Lamoriello is moving off of the line, assuming he bought into the premise of it when he accepted the role of general manager.
Okay, well, I will say, though, next year I would not be surprised if that would be kind of the mandate.
Like in the offseason maybe, right? You get aggressive so that next year you're in a little bit better position. But they're close right now.
They are. They're within striking distance.
And you've got Boston and Ottawa. Who knows what's going on there in the Atlantic?
I think that would be quite interesting. I can't picture.
Yeah, just stir.
Listen,
I'm radio trolling right now, big time.
I could see truth in that, though, for sure. I mean,
he just made the guy's eyes light up.
No, but that's business, man. Like, and let's not forget, you're talking about the company that also owns the playoff rights, and there's a lot of different, you know, connections that come into play there. I can't picture Shanahan buying into it, and I definitely can't picture Lou. Like, Lou showed up and kicked the media off the plane.
Yeah,
that's Rogers and Bell employees, and said you're not on the plane anymore.
Yeah.
Like, so he, you know,
he basically said it's going to be my way.
This is the way it is,
and I respect.
I did a
that.
Thing down for the alumni where I signed autographs. It was like be a Leaf for the day, and I asked the guys, I'm like, how'd you like the Leafs dressing room? And they're like, we never saw it. Lou didn't want us in there. I was like, what the hell?
It's his world, man. Like it.
He's changed the culture in a pretty short time.
He certainly has. Like, this is a legacy move for him, too.
Again, within reason here.
Yeah.
And that's why I think to some degree they are open to business, as long as it doesn't impact, you know, their long-term future and the pieces that would obviously not be in play. But there are some that are less obvious. I don't know. Like, for me, as great as Leo Komarov is and you know, the work ethic that he provides, you got that now in Brown and Hyman.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, you'd miss him. You'd miss him. But if he's part of something that brings you back something else that makes you stronger in an area of weakness right now,
or more collateral for a deal in the summer, right? You acquire a couple second-rounders.
Makes more sense in the summer. The essence of the pot stirring is because of where they're at now.
Sure.
Right? And the want to try and secure a playoff spot. Because, you know, the flip side to the reasoning that I just provided is this. I mean, I know Shanahan and Lamoriello and Babcock put high value on the experience gained by making the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm. As they should.
But
are
you, as they should. I mean, they want to see how Morgan Rielly performs in a tougher environment,
mm-hmm.
in meaningful games, regular season, and in the playoffs. But do you risk where you're at in season by moving Bozak or Komarov or a piece or JVR, a piece like that, you know, because you feel like you're going to get a piece that's going to help you longer term and maybe give you a bit of an edge. I mean, that's the dilemma.
Well, that could be the compromise, right? We'll hold off until the summer. Instead of trading Pollock again, we'll keep him because we think he
And I think the fan help. Base would be okay with that.
I'd be fine with that. Yeah. If they're in this same spot come March 2nd or at February 28th, whenever the deadline is, I value the experience as well.
Yeah.
I think the fan base would be all over that. All right, buddy. Good. He stirred the pot a little bit there. That's
got him excited.
You know, at least lunch will be talking about it tomorrow.
Oh, guaranteed.
Andy will be all over that. The boys on Nail.
Can't wait to see the
well.
Headlines tonight on .ca. Yeah.
We're going to make sure that it's very, very trollish
Dreger
and hot takeish.
No, I don't just say Dreger says.
Yeah.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. All right, buddy.
All right, thank you.
There he is, Darren Dreger, a Hockey Insider. The Hockey Insider is brought to you by Finance It, monthly payment plans for big dreams and everyday budgets. Get to the three stars brought to you by Bab Sox, Best Bets as well. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get to the three stars brought to you by Bab Sox here in a moment. Get to our Best Bets as well. Some donkey texting in saying, when is TSN going to get Hayes a new wardrobe? He always looks like a bum on TV.
There you go. You called the guy a donkey.
Real news or fake news?
That's fake news.
That's fake news.
You are fake news.
Yeah, you are fake news, whoever tweeted or texted that in.
This is just a number?
That's how we can do our segment. We can take comments from the listeners via Twitter, text, and we decide if it's...
You are fake news.
Or real news.
Okay.
I'm kind of grooving that.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
All right. Jeff tweeting in. And the players they have here in Toronto, the core for the Maple Leafs are good enough, but collectively they're missing a Seabrook to be true contenders. Is that fake news or real news?
Real news.
Well, that's a two. I mean, Seabrook's a two.
I like it,
that's
man.
That's somebody that... I
Amy,
mean, he's right.
It's two options. Real news
that's
or...
Real news.
You are fake news.
That is real news.
That's real news. I think it's real news.
I've got one.
All right.
Hey, Hayes, mix in another button. I can see your nipple.
Well, that's real news, man.
What?
I got the Johnny Horn going.
He's got John. You didn't see it from this angle. You can't see. Apparently, there's chest hair and everything going into the camera.
That's right, man.
I think that's...
You are fake news.
You're fake news.
Thank you, man.
You can't see that.
I know. No, this guy's just being a donkey, too.
He's having a little...
People taking runs at my appearance. Very, very mature.
I thought you dressed casual today. I like that.
That's what I thought, too, man. This is a new shirt. I'm actually breaking out a new shirt.
You can see that you've got the
creases like
in the shoulder.
It was folded just prior to me putting it on.
You are fake news.
Actually, I got a steamer now, man. I pull the steam out, and I'm right in there.
That's
Pauly Walnuts.
That is. That's high
class. I
feel
all grown up.
I love it.
All right. So, anyway, send us in tweets and texts and emails, and maybe we'll read them in terms of fake news and real news. I like that idea.
I think it's
we'll
a good
do it on the fly for
it'll be a good bit.
The next couple of weeks until it gets old.
Oh, we'll start tomorrow. Thursday, we don't have any of our bits, so we'll start tomorrow.
All right.
We'll introduce it. Fake news, real news.
Maybe I'm in the field tomorrow.
I'm on
assignment tomorrow, so maybe I'll call in with some fake news.
You know what?
You want to start it on Friday?
No. You guys, I've been refusing the last comment of the day because you guys keep bringing up last Friday, and you brought it up again, so I'm going to give you the Heisman.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've been waiting for the one day you don't bring it up, but you said on assignment, so you know what you're getting at the end of the show.
You're saying when I say we're back tomorrow at 4 p.m., and you guys and generally yell out, we'll chat then.
I boycott that now.
You've been boycotting.
Until the day we don't bring up Friday.
Assignment. Okay.
The negative star.
Well, you know who's in here tomorrow, and you know he's going to bring it up.
Little Jonas.
Little Jonas Siegel.
We were told in a meeting not to call him that.
That's true, actually. That is not
That's
fake
when
news.
He worked for TSN.
That's real news.
That's real
when
news.
He worked for TSN. He doesn't work for TSN.
That's
anymore.
A good point. He's with the Canadian
he's
Press
a,
now.
He's a guest.
Who was it that said, guys, you can't call him Little Jonas? It's probably Steph.
I think it might
it
have
was.
Been Steph.
She was being a hero, but she was being a bully, too.
She
I could have reported her to HR.
Right.
We should.
We may have to have. Is that fake news or real news? That we should report Steph to HR for some of her behavior.
That's real news. That's real news.
I think it is.
No question. All right, time now for our best bets. Brought to you by Proline. I'm going to take the 76ers at home against the Knicks. The Knicks are a tire fire
right
now.
Is it because of our...
Because of Derrick Rose.
Okay, but I thought it was because of Nick.
You're talking about Stauskas.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Stauskas will have a big night. So I'll go Stauskas having a big night. The Knicks are a tire fire. I'm taking the Sixers at home. I'll take the Thunder at home over Memphis, and I'll lay the points. It's a lot, but Clippers at home against Orlando. Throw down 20, and you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. All right, you guys ready? You want to grab the socks over there, Noodles?
I've got the socks.
You've got the socks. All right. You guys ready for the three stars brought to you by Bab Socks?
Overdrive, three stars of the day.
Noodles, you got anybody?
Mikhail Bodker. That guy has been terrible for San Jose this year. Scored a hat trick last night.
I think he's got like four hat tricks in his career.
Well, he
needed one.
He needed one big time. San Jose signed him to a pretty lengthy and wealthy deal, and he's done nothing. Last night he was good.
So he's your third star because he picked up a hat trick.
Fake news.
And fake news. All right.
You are fake news. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with your raps. They look down and out. You were disgruntled, tweeting out mean tweets.
I deleted the one. Give me credit for that.
Gutless. Gutless.
It was pretty gutless.
It was fake news.
You are fake news.
That was fake news.
Yes.
It was absolutely fake news. It's a fake tweet. No one knows how to define fake news. Like, it's just, you are fake.
You are fake news.
CNN is fake news. You are fake news. That's unbelievable. This is the guy who's been peddling that Obama was an illegal immigrant forever, but now everything else is fake news.
You are fake news.
I thought you were going with an anti-star out of Philly. Don't you have...
The news station. They wanted to wish Joe Frazier a happy 73rd birthday, and he's unfortunately been gone for 5 years. And they were actually naming the things that he was doing tonight to help out the community.
What?
Yeah.
That's fake news.
He died 5 years
ago. You are fake news.
That stings. I'm going to throw Dreger a shout-out for kind of stirring the pot there a little bit. With the idea of Leafs ownership maybe
excited,
wanting some wins here. And
that's fair.
That'll get people pretty fired up. And maybe Steve Phillips as well for suggesting that the Jays and Bautista – they might be getting closer to a deal, or at least the Jays are circling back on the idea of Bautista being a Blue Jay, being a good idea. You can find that story up on TSN.ca. Overdrive, three stars of the day, is brought to you by Bab Socks. Add a little grit to your wardrobe with hockey's greatest game day ritual. Pull up your Bab Socks and support the team. Don't forget to PVR the show on TSN2. If you can't watch it live, you can watch it later. Find everything podcasted online, TSN1050.ca, and you can check us out on iTunes. So Jonas Siegel's in here tomorrow.
Yep.
Noodles, you're on assignment.
I'm on assignment. Taking the train up to Ottawa.
Really?
No.
So we'll see you, I guess, next week. Then.
Yeah.
Because if you're taking the train back from Ottawa, who knows? I love this protest. Like it means anything.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Protesting.
All right. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
You are fake news.